Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We are practicing, Hope City is practicing the discipline of bringing our Bible with us on Sunday morning. So if you have your Bible, get it out and put it in the air. Oh, look at that. Look at that. I was like, I thought for sure first service was going to have you be. I think we're straight on even. Okay. Come on, this is so good. All right, we're going to say this together. You don't have to like repeat it after me. Say it with me. This is my Bible. It is the very word of God. Every word in this book is true. Inside this book is the very direction for my life, and I choose to follow it. This is my Bible, and I love it. Amen. All right.
Period.
Right? We are in the final message of this series, The Tension. I just feel like I need to pause for just a minute and say this, okay? Because I really feel Holy Spirit's already working in people right now as we're getting ready to go into God's Word. And here's what I want you to know. He wants to set you free of some things today, okay? And there's going to be an opportunity for you to respond. So right now, I want you to, like, be disciplined. If that means like you need to get out of your seat and move forward, like I don't care what that looks like, so that you're not distracted and you don't miss what God's about to do for you, do it. All right? I think that some of you might be feeling the same way I'm feeling, like your stomach is just like vibrating. That's how I know Holy Spirit's working. My stomach is like, I feel like I just did like 50 crunches down here. That's a lot for me. Maybe that's not a lot for some. Jeff, it's probably not a lot for you, but it's a lot for me, okay? 50 crunches makes my stomach feel like this, but Holy Spirit makes my stomach feel like this because I know that he is about ready to pour out his presence today. He's about ready to set some people free of some things, and I want you just to, like, resist all temptation to get up and leave in the middle of the message, all right? Resist all temptation. All of a sudden, some of you are like, I gotta go potty, too bad. Okay, hold it. Okay. Oh man, I'm thirsty. My phone's, oh, I got a text. Who cares? Turn off your phones. Get rid of distractions and let Holy Spirit do what he needs to do right now. All right. So this is the final message in the series, The Tension. And in this series, we've been focusing on one specific chunk of scripture. And we've looked at it in a variety of different ways. But all of it has to do with tension. Because there's always going to be a tension, a resistance between our humanity and our spiritual journey. Okay? There's going to be a tension between our humanity and our spiritual journey. And here's why. Our humanity is emotionally driven. If you are a human, all right, okay, good. Yeah, me too. I'm a human, okay? If you are a human, you are emotionally driven, okay? Sometimes, especially, listen, our society with social media, this is why Pastor Jason is like, oh, Pastor Paula's never on social media. That's because I think it's fake. I think that we present a fake self on social media. Everyone's like, everything's so perfect. And then we buy into the spirit of comparison and my life doesn't look like their life. And now I don't have everything that I need and God doesn't take care of me. Blah, blah, blah. Social media presents a fake self of us. So I don't go on it very often because I'm sick of fakeness and I'm all about real. Because in our society that's driven by social media and stuff, feelings and emotions become our guide. Yeah. I feel this way, so that's my reality. Yeah. If I feel this way, that's what's true. And if you disagree with how I feel, you're wrong. That's what our humanity says. I feel this way, so this is what is true. And if you don't agree with me, then you're wrong. That's what humanity says. But our spiritual journey is based on the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus taught us to seek that how it is in heaven is how we live on earth. Yeah. Right? Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he said, as it is, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. So what this looks like in heaven, will you please bring it to earth and to my reality? That's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. It's based on this principle and this reality. Feelings are real. Okay, do you hear me? God knows your feelings are real, but we're supposed to take them to God and get his perspective. What does heaven say about how I'm feeling? Okay, feelings are real, but we need God's perspective on our feelings, because what we have an understanding about a situation most likely isn't the truth about the situation. Yeah. But we walk in step with the Father, and we do exactly as he says. The final message in this series is tied back to our theme for 2025. It's bonus points. What's the theme for 2025? Try it again. What's the theme for 2025?
Now go.
Now go. And as we do often, the last message in any series is going to be tied back to the theme of now go, of our theme for 2025. The whole idea of now go is to get out of ourselves and take on the full identity of who we are in Jesus and take that message to the people around us. Now go. And here's our capstone passage for now go. It's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says this, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus was 100% human while he was here. Do you hear me? He was 100% human. And he did everything he did on this earth as a human, not as part of the Godhead. You need to hear me. It's important for you to understand this. While Jesus was walking on this earth, he did so as a 100% human being, not as God. But he was in 100% relationship with Father God. And so he can say this to us. All authority has been given to me as a human. Now you go and do all of the things that I've been doing. Okay? I've done all of this as a human. Now you go and do all of this. I've raised the sick. I've healed the sick. I've raised the dead. I've cast out demons. I have done all of these things as a human. Now you go and do all of these things. You make new disciples. You tell them all about me and then tell them to go. Now go. Right? Jesus is telling us to do exactly what he did while he was on earth. His mom, Jesus's mom, set the stage here for him. The very first miracle that Jesus did as a human is at a wedding in Cana. And their wedding celebrations during this time would last several days. And they're getting into like only a couple days into the celebration, and they've ran out of wine. That was an important piece to a wedding celebration. They've ran out of wine. And Jesus's mom comes to him and says, Jesus, they ran out of wine. And then with this expectation, like, Jesus, I bet you can do something about this. And at first, Jesus was like, why are you telling me this? You know why? Because Mary was not Father God, right? We get our directives for how we are to obey and how we are to do from Father God in the supernatural. Mary wasn't Father God. So he's like, Mary, mom, let me talk to Dad. And as soon as he's like, hold on a minute, Mary looks at all of the servants that are standing there, and she says, listen, do exactly as he says. Do exactly as he says. John chapter 2, verse 5 says, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. All right, this should be like a new t-shirt that we wear. Do whatever he tells you. Do it. Do whatever he says. Do exactly as he says. That's his expectation of us. Just do what he says. Whether we feel like it or not. Do what he says. And you know how he can tell us to do that? Because he modeled that. He modeled the tension between humanity and kingdom living right in this passage of scripture that we have been, girls, thanks. Right in this message, this passage that we have been studying for the past few weeks, he models exactly what it looks like to say, do it whether you feel like it or not. Here's what it looks like. We're going to read this together. We're in Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 23. And it says this. When Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about Jesus, he said to his advisors, this must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That is why he can do such miracles. Okay, we're about ready to get into Jesus' humanity right here. For Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife, Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother, Philip. Do you hear what's going on? Herod had married his brother's wife. John had been telling Herod, it is against God's law for you to marry her. Herod didn't like that. It made him mad. Herod felt like marrying Herodias. Herod had lustful thoughts towards his brother's wife. He had feelings that were not appropriate for his brother's wife. And you know what he did? He acted on them. That's what he did. And John the Baptist spoke up and he's like, you are wrong. You should not be doing this. That's against God's plan. And Herodias, Herod's wife, his brother's wife, said, you should arrest him. Who is he to tell you what's right and what's wrong? You should arrest him. So Herod arrested him. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of a riot because all the people believed John was a prophet, and he was. So guess what happens? Something else happens, and this is where feelings come in, okay? Next slide. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. Listen, this is where full humanity comes into play. Herodias is like, listen, daughter, I want you to go out and I want you to perform this dance. It was not like a little like ballet. Okay? This was like a stripper dance. Okay? And it was specifically for the purpose to get what she wanted from Herod. Herod had all kinds of feelings about this dance. That's where we're going to leave it, okay? And as he's feeling greatly pleased by this dance, he says to her, anything you want, I'll give it to you. So she goes to her mom and says, what should I ask him for? And her mom goes, ask him for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Ooh, do you see? Do you see where feelings get us? Do you see that? Feelings are murderous. Ooh. Okay, so the girl says to him, I want the head of John the Baptist. And so John was beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what happened. Pause for just a minute before we go on. I want you to know and understand what's happening right now with Jesus. We've talked about it over the past few weeks. I'm going to talk about it one more time. Jesus and John were cousins. They were family. Not only were they like blood family, they were spiritual family. Like, these two met in utero. And because of Jesus' presence within his mother's womb, John, who was inside his own mother's womb, was actually filled with the Holy Spirit inside his mother's womb at the presence of Jesus. These two men had a connection that happened before they took one breath on this earth. They were tight. Not only were they tight as family, they were tight in the spirit. And John had gone before Jesus, preparing people for the message Jesus was about to say to them. He'd been preparing their hearts. And so Jesus learns this news that John is dead. Can you imagine what he's feeling? As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Do you blame him? Absolutely not. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. And Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, hey, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, well, that isn't necessary. You feed them. But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. All ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Isn't that amazing? About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. He went up to the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. Can you feel the tension in that situation? Jesus, in all humanity, has feelings right now. Of course, he is sad. He is grieving. I bet he's angry, right? I bet he is so angry at Herod, at Herodias. He's angry. He has all the feelings, and they were real. Those were real feelings. But he also had a directive from Father God. Two things can be true at the same time. He felt these things. He felt like being alone. He felt like being mad. He felt like not being around people. And Father God is telling him to do this. Both things true. The three things that we're focusing on in Now Go is obedience, discipline, and sacrifice. And Jesus models all three of these things in his reaction to the news of John's death. He models obedience, he models sacrifice, and he models discipline. Let's look at how. The first thing is this. We can be obedient even when we don't feel like it. Do you hear that? We can be obedient even when we don't feel like it. It says in that passage that Jesus left in a boat to be alone, right? I'm going to be alone. But he steps off the boat, and what does he find? Thousands of people, right? Thousands of people. He is grieving. He is sad. He is angry. And yet the people are still there. I can almost guarantee you. How can I almost guarantee you this? Because Jesus was 100% human. That means he was a human just like you and I. And if I was to step off a boat with an intention of going and being alone and saw all these people, I think I would say, Dad, can I just be alone? And so I think Jesus was probably like, Abba, can I just go be alone? And obviously, the Father's answer was what? No, not yet. Not right now. Why? Well, because Jesus had to model to you and I, to everyone else, what the business of the kingdom, Now Go, looks like when we're feeling exactly opposite of what he wants us to do. He had to model that. How do I know he had to model that? Well, because the writer of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this. This high priest of ours, in Hebrews, he had just built a case of why Jesus is considered our high priest. So this high priest, Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So I know he felt one way, yet he chose to be obedient. He was obedient even when he didn't want to. So what's my excuse? What's your excuse? If Jesus can feel all the same things and have all the same things face him that we do, yet he still chooses obedience. What's my excuse then? Yeah. Right? We can have feelings and still choose to obey. The next thing is this. Sometimes the sacrifice that God wants is the sacrifice of our feelings. Sometimes that's just what he just wants to be like. I get that you're feeling this way, but are you willing to lay that down and do it anyhow? The sacrifice that he's asking for is just be like, I can identify my feelings and I'm still going to give them to you. And I'm going to let you do them and direct me as you want. Is he being mean? Does he just not care about us? No, I don't think that's the answer at all. I don't think that Father God looked at Jesus and said, "Oh, son, I'm so sorry that your cousin just died. Now, go heal these people." I don't think that's how Father God responded to him at all. I think it was more something like this. "Jesus, I hear you. I recognize that you feel sad and angry and disappointed and hurt. I hear you. But I need you to still do what I'm asking you to do. And here's why. Because in thousands of years from now, there's going to be this girl named Faith. And she's going to be facing some things. And she's going to be feeling overwhelmed. And she's going to be feeling like she wants to isolate. She's going to be feeling like she doesn't want to move forward. And I'm just going to ask her to do it anyhow. So Jesus, I need you to show her that it's possible to still move forward beyond your feelings and be human. Jesus, will you show her that? I know it's hard, but I need you to model that for her." Do you guys see what Father God did? Father God said, "I recognize that my kids are going to feel ways and they're going to not want to do what is best for them. So Jesus, you have to model what it looks like to lay your feelings aside and still say yes." Sacrifice your feelings, Jesus, because faith needs you to do that. Sacrifice your feelings, Jesus, because Josh needs you to do that. Sacrifice your feelings, Jesus, because Kelly needs you to do that. Sacrifice your feelings, Jesus, because Paula needs you to do that. Isn't that an amazing truth? That the Father can look down from eternity and be like, "I see you in 2025. I see all the feelings you're going to feel. So Jesus, in this moment, in 45 AD, put your feelings aside and say yes anyhow, so they can do it too." But we also have to remember this, that there's a discipline here that Jesus showed us. We have to remember the discipline of rest. We have to. And here's where the discipline of rest came for Jesus. Because I know this because I've experienced it. There is a rush that comes when you experience the miraculous. There is a rush that happens when Holy Spirit moves, especially when he uses you, and you see him move through you. And it's like, "Woo! Let's go! I'm lacing up my boots, I got my backpack on, ride!" Okay? That's what it's like. Let's do this. Can you imagine how Jesus is feeling at this moment? It says that there's thousands of people there and he healed all the sick. He healed all the sick. Not Jesus healed all the sick. Father God healed through him. The power of the Holy Spirit came through Jesus and healed all the sick. And Then there's this side note of taking this little individual serving of a lunch, blessing it, and over 10,000 people get fed. Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, he's like, "Woohoo, guys, did you see that? Did you see what just happened? This is awesome! Let's go to the other side of the lake." I mean, in that moment, I'm sure he was like, "Pooped!" I would have been. But he had to have the discipline to know, like, "Listen, I still have these feelings that I came over here with. I still have them. I came over here for a purpose. And even though right at this moment I am feeling amped and I can do it and let's go, I need to spend some time with my Father." So guys, disciples, I want you to go ahead and head back out over to the other side of the lake. I'm going to send all these people home. And he sent them all home. And he went up on a place to pray and be alone. Why? Because Jesus took his feelings to his Father. Because the Father is the only one that can bring clarity to how we're feeling. Not our best friend, not our neighbor next door, not our spouse, the Father. The only one that can bring clarity to our feelings and balance us out emotionally is the Father. If Jesus had to take his feelings to the Father, we have to do the same thing. And we can't do that when we're surrounded by all of our people. We have to have the discipline of rest, of quiet, of time alone with the Father to say, here's how I feel. What do you want to do with this? What do you say about this? Because God is the only one that can bring us true clarity and comfort through our feelings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says, all praise to God the Father, the Lord, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is merciful. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Listen, we cannot comfort other people if we don't allow the Father to comfort us. And the Father can't comfort us if we aren't disciplined to spend time with him. Boom. Right? Now going requires obedience, discipline, and sacrifice. I want everyone just to close their eyes for a moment. If you are here today and you recognize, like, I haven't been doing any of those. I don't obey. I don't sacrifice. I am not disciplined because I have not invited Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And I recognize that that's my very first step. Before I can give the Father my emotions, I have to recognize who Jesus is and invite him to be the Lord of my life. If that's you today and you want to take that step to say yes to Jesus, would you just raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on. I just want everyone to pray this out together. Jesus, thank you for seeing me. Thank you for modeling what it looks like. Today I sacrifice myself and I give myself over. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you raised your hand, Jeff and Kelly are in the back here. And I want you just to go back there and talk with them before you leave today. Don't leave without talking with Jeff and Kelly, if you raised your hand.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.